supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Support for Voices in the Family is made possible in part by the generous support of Devereaux, the nation's largest nonprofit provider of behavioral health care for children, adolescents, and adults with developmental and intellectual disabilities, behavioral disorders, and mental illness. Devereaux operates at 15 centers in 11 states throughout the country.
I'm Dan Gottlieb. Thanks for listening to Voices in the Family. Well, at the end of the day, when the final bell rings at school, the kids go home and do their homework. Today's kids in elementary and middle school are sometimes bogged down for close to 2 hours a night, and in high school, it can sometimes be double that. Some parents question the amount of homework their kids are being assigned, wondering, after being in school for 8 hours, are 2 more hours helpful or harmful? Do kids simply turn off their brains after hours of schoolwork, or are they able to learn deep into the night? And don't forget all the extracurricular activities loaded on top. So how much homework is too much, and what is its value? Well, joining me today to discuss these issues is Sarah Bennett. She's co-author of The Case Against Homework and creator of the blog StopHomework.com. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. We're going to hear later from Alan Lee. He's a former teacher and director of the Teachers Institute of Philadelphia. And we'll also hear from Dr. Stephen Soffer, who's a staff psychologist at the Center for Management of ADHD here at Children's Hospital. Well, our phone number is 888-477-9499. Our topic is homework. We'd like to hear from you, and please call early in the show. I have a feeling our lines are going to be backed up. So we'd like to hear from parents. We'd like to hear from teachers and administrators. And listen, if there's any kids out there who are playing hooky or pretending to be sick, give us a call, 888-477-9499. Well, Sarah, tell us when you got started thinking about these issues.
Oh, I've been thinking about them for 13 years now. So that was when my first child entered first grade and brought home the first homework assignment. So it's been going on a long time.
So what was that assignment? I mean, what got you up in arms about this?
You know, if the funny thing is if there are any parents who are listening today, they would wish for the kind of homework my kids brought home when they were in first grade. So back then, all he had to do was fill out a little reading log. And he didn't know how to write. And I just filled out the reading log for him. We were houseware, you know, we had been reading to, at that point, I guess I had one child who was in first grade and one who was about three, but we had been reading to them since they were born. And so having him fill out a little reading log was going to be very tedious, so we just filled it out ourselves. Of course, the teacher told me he was supposed to be doing it. And I said, wait, he doesn't know how to write. That's just silly. So that was kind of the beginning.
Well, that was 13 years ago. When I was a kid, I thought I had too much homework. Mm-hmm. But you know, any homework was too much homework back then. But, you know, these days it really is overwhelming. How did it start? How did we go into hyperdrive with homework? What was that about?
I think there's been different points in history when we've been in hyperdrive over homework. Most people will date the recent influx in homework to 1983 with the publication of A Nation at Risk. But for our elementary school children, I really think it's been really ramped up after the No Child Left Behind Act came into effect at the beginning of 2002. And I think a lot of it is because teachers feel under a lot of pressure to have the kids perform well on standardized tests because their jobs depend on it. So even at the time when I wrote my book, which was 3 years ago, homework in kindergarten was not the national norm, but it is now. So, you know, homework has been increasing, and it's increasing more for the younger children.
You must have done dozens of surveys. So can you make any generalization about how much homework our kids are getting?
It's very hard to generalize.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are polls that are, you know, there was an AOL poll that came out, I guess, 2 years ago that said elementary kids were doing 78 minutes per night and middle school kids were doing 99 minutes a night. Sometimes what they do is they fool around a little bit with the statistics. So to try to say that high school kids are not doing as much homework as they're actually doing, they've started to incorporate 7 through 12 in the same statistics. Mm. So when you average it out, it may be a little less. Anecdotally, I think I hear more from the parents who feel overwhelmed by the amount of homework their kids are getting.
Are you arguing for no homework?
I would argue for no homework in elementary school, absolutely. There's no research showing any benefit or any correlation between homework and academic achievement in elementary school. So,
well, what about the mundane parts of learning, and that's practice, spelling, reading, times tables.
There should be enough time in school to do those things. Kids are tired by the time they come home. I mean, I don't know what world most people think we're living in, but most kids come home from school around 6 o'clock because they're in some kind of after-school program, and kids are commuting a little bit to school. So it's not like they're coming out of school at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and have the whole rest of the afternoon and evening just to lie around and do nothing. They're coming home from school and they're exhausted, and their working parents are exhausted too. And they should be going to bed by 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night. Hmm. So the last thing they need to do is some practice. And the truth is that they've done the practice in school. So what they're doing, I'm not going to say that kids shouldn't be reading for pleasure or parents shouldn't be reading to their kids. Of course they should. But to send home a 6 or 7 or 8-year-old with a bunch of worksheets for them to do is just really a waste of their time.
There is some research you cite in your book that suggests 10 minutes of homework per night per grade.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what Duke University Professor Harris Cooper came up with, along with the National PTA and the National Education Association. Oh, well, if we're going to have homework 10 minutes per night. But the thing is, 10 minutes per grade per night, meaning, you know, 10 minutes for a first grader, 60 minutes for a sixth grader, and 120 minutes or 2 hours for a 12th grader. But missing from that is whether or not those 10 minutes are worthwhile. And what I'm saying is the research says that in elementary school, there's no relationship between homework and academic achievement. So 10 minutes or 60 minutes is a waste of time. Hmm. When you move up through middle school and high school, there's still very little correlation between homework and academic achievement. And when you actually break it down, it says, well, kids will get better grades if they do their homework. Of course they get better grades. They get better grades because homework completion is part of their grade. And in general, they will probably do better on the teacher-created test if they do their homework. But that doesn't mean anything about whether they're developing any kind of analytical skills or whether they're going to remember this stuff in the long term. So even still, kids are wasting a lot of time all the way up through high school. And the quality of the homework is abysmal pretty much across the board.
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
Yeah, what do you mean the quality of the homework?
Well, if you take a look at the kind of homework that kids are doing, you know, read a chapter in, you know, read 5 pages in the history book and find the answers to these questions. Mm. I mean, that's what kids do every night. I mean, I can speak pretty authoritatively, anecdotally, because I have a 10th grader in a New York City public high school. I see what her homework is, and there's no thought that goes into the homework that she's given. It's really just go through these books and answer these questions, and it takes away time from real learning.
Yeah, later on I want to talk about teacher training in homework.
Yeah, but there is none.
Let's go to the phone. We've got our phone lines are almost filled, so let's get some callers. And we've got Gary on the line. Hey, Gary.
Hello. Hi, hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My daughter is now in college, but when she was in high school, she got so much homework that she wasn't able to just be a kid anymore. She wasn't able to develop her interests. She wasn't able to do extracurriculars. It was very unusual for her to get to bed before 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock is not at all unheard of, and 12-hour Saturdays and 12-hour Sundays were not all that uncommon either. And I'll throw in here also that her best friend, who went to a different high school, was able to do all her homework within the school day. So there's a great disparity in the amount of homework given from school to school, which is...
What were you able to do about it, you and your daughter? Did you want to do anything about it?
Well, sure. My wife and I, our main concern was how it was overwhelming her life. It's just completely taking over. She didn't have a life. So we went to the school. It was a private school, and spoke to the headmaster, and we spoke to each teacher individually to tell them that this is a serious problem. And we got a lot of nodding heads, and we're looking at it. That was an interesting comment. But nothing ever happened.
Well, you probably got some insight into what your daughter must feel like, too. But let me turn to you, Sarah, about these private schools and about schools in mm-hmm. general. Now, there's a great deal of pressure on these schools to produce kids who get into good colleges.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the pressure comes not just from the culture, not just from the administrator, it comes from the parents. I would suggest Gary might be in a small minority in his school.
Oh, I don't think so.
No, you don't.
I think Gary has hit on something, that different schools approach it differently. I think private schools and, you know, sort of the higher performing urban and suburban schools have this problem, but it's not a problem that only those schools have. And yes, I think the pressure is from parents to get their kids into good colleges. I mean, I've had the same experience as Gary of meeting with big groups of heads of schools, for instance, and they will all nod their heads and say, yes, we know this is unhealthy for our students, but, and then there's always the big but we're not going to change unless the other schools change, because we can't have those students getting into a good school but not our students. The problem is that the colleges are not seeing the kinds of students that they want either.
Right.
You know, they're saying that college students are unprepared. And
yeah.
I think this is a really, really big problem. And something that I notice in my own, I'm also a lawyer, and I've had law students for many, many years. And each year, I feel like they're less prepared to take on a problem if you're not giving them very specific instructions about what to do. And this is what the colleges say.
Yeah, the research I've read, that as kids are coming out of college, they come out with more knowledge, but fewer have good problem-solving skills,
right.
And they are less resilient. They're more hyper-reactive.
Exactly, and I think there's so many reasons for it. And part of it is, as Gary is saying, when a child doesn't have a life, they don't have the time to develop all of those kind of life skills that they need to have. So it's a really big problem, and the longer I'm involved in this, the more I'm searching for a solution that's going to be, you know, far-reaching, as opposed to, like, one little school one teacher.
You're not kidding. Gary, thank you so much for your call. I heard an educator once say that more and more our children are being seen as performance units rather than the spiritual beings they
mm-hmm.
are. It's sad. So I went to, one of our producers, Sarah, Stephanie Marudis, went out and talked with parents and kids outside an elementary school in Philadelphia. Let's listen.
It's not bad. He's used to homework from kindergarten on up, so he knows what to do when he gets home. He starts his homework when he gets home. He reads. He has to read for 30 minutes every night, and then he does his math and does whatever other subjects that he's supposed to do.
I think it's great to just do some work when you have nothing else to do.
Well, it's been very lucky. School started last week, and we haven't had any homework yet except reading 30 minutes every day. Today we're going to see, because today's a whole new week, and we have soccer practice tonight, so it's juggling homework and soccer practice. His favorite thing is for us to sit beside him when he does it, so it's just so you tend to not be able to get anything else done because it's as long as it takes him. But they were doing fractions the end of first grade. I don't know about you, but I never did fractions in first grade.
I really liked it. Sometimes it would be kind of a little boring, like because I thought there were some more things to do, like reading by myself. Me and my friends would just say, oh, there's too little homework. They just give like this tiny two pieces of homework to do and all that.
All their teachers, actually, that they've always had give the homework at the beginning of the week for the entire week so we can kind of plan out and do our homework and have it all done by Friday. So if we need to do more one night, we can. And if we need to do less one night, we can do that as well. So it offers a lot of flexibility.
Did you have homework in kindergarten?
Yeah.
And what was that like?
Boring.
Why?
Just doing it makes it boring.
What would you rather be doing than doing your homework?
Playing.
Yeah, me too. Rather be playing than doing homework. But that was our producer, Stephanie Marutis.
Well, that was actually really interesting. Because
yeah, they didn't agree with you universally.
No, they didn't. I think they're, I hate to be rude about it, but I don't think they're educated enough about it. And so that when somebody says, well, we get the homework at the beginning of the week, so there's a lot of flexibility. What I say is when the teacher's giving a homework at the beginning of the week, there's no thought going into the homework because there's no, it's not related to anything that's being done in class.
No, wait a minute. I want to make sure I understood what you just said, mm-hmm. that parents who aren't, parents and their children who aren't complaining about homework, you're saying they're not complaining because they don't know enough?
Yeah, I think people don't know that there is no correlation between homework and academic achievement. I mean, I think if people knew that across the board, they would say, well, then why do we do it? Why do we do things for no reason?
Hmm.
Right? Good question. I mean, people go along with it because they've had it for so long. So sometimes I feel like it's like the emperor's new clothes, and I'm one of the people out there, and there's a lot of us out here who are saying, wait a minute, let's look at this.
Well, we've got to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Alan Lees, the founding director of at the Teachers Institute of Philadelphia at University of Pennsylvania, and he's been a public school teacher for 30 years, and he might have a different take on this. We're talking with Sarah Bennett, who's joining us today, about homework, what it does, what it doesn't do, and how she argues we have way too much of it, it harms our children, and it doesn't accomplish much at all. She's co-author of the book, The Case Against Homework. She's the founder of the blog StopHomework.com. Our numbers are 888-477-9499. All our lines are tied up right now, but please be patient because we will go to the phones. Well, I'm Dan Gottlieb. You're listening to Voices in the Family. It's right here on WHYY-FM.
Supporting WHYY, the RIPA Center for Women's Health and Wellness at Cooper University Hospital, announcing Breakthrough Energy, Attitude, and Good Health, a program for women 45+. Saturday, October 3rd at the Westin Mount Laurel. Workshops include Hormones Gone Wild, Sexuality and Aging, Bladder Matters, Arthritis Pain Management, and more. For details and registration, 877-662-2273 or cooperhealth.org/women.
From music and dance to cooking and glass blowing, painting, acting, graphic design, WHYY's Creative Campus is not your typical classroom experience. And we're going a step further, off campus. Local students take over WHYY with a huge variety of acts on indoor and outdoor stages. Part of Philadelphia's First Friday, October 2nd from 5 to 9. WHYY presents the Creative Campus Arts Fest. Real students, real talent.
And we're back on Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb, your host. Homework is what we're talking about today with Sarah Bennett. She joins us from New York City. She's co-author of The Case Against Homework and founder of the blog StopHomework.com. I'm also joined by Dr. Alan Lee. He's the founding director of the Teachers Institute of Philadelphia at University of Pennsylvania, and he's has over 30 years' experience as a public school teacher. Alan, welcome to the show.
Hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you've worked in education. 30 years qualifies as quite some time.
I think so.
A teacher, professor, and now at the Teachers Institute. How have you seen homework evolve? You know, Sarah tracks it, you know, really skyrocketing since the early 80s. I'm sure you have to admit it really has increased tremendously.
Yes, and part of that, though, is our many school districts and many schools or principals, it can be at the local level or at systemic level, demand that teachers do assign homework every night. And what that does is increase the quantity, not necessarily increase the quality. And so I agree with some of the points that Sarah has made. I don't fully agree that homework is useless and that it serves no purpose. But it is true that many districts and teachers find that there are demands from outside of education, which leads to policies that perhaps are not the most efficacious.
You mean political demands?
Yes, or social demands. Yes,
right.
There is a need for some schools or in some districts to show that they're doing something. If not anything effective, they're at least doing something.
So, what is the efficacy of homework?
At its best, it is a continuation of class activities and things that cannot be accomplished within a 45-minute. Or 50-minute or period. It should be a deepening of the experience. It should also allow students to take responsibility for some aspects of their own education, which as a personal belief, I think we have been evolving increasingly away from having students themselves be responsible. We find ways to make excuses why students can't do things because they're boring or because they're too challenging, because it's bad for their self-esteem. But, in fact, we need to have students individually engaged in their own experience.
Well, and Sarah also talks about, are you there, Sarah?
Yes, I am. And
you also talk about, you know, not just, you know, students being protected from things that are difficult, but, you know, you've got the nightly homework fights that you talk about, where parents are too involved.
I'm not suggesting that students be protected from something that's difficult. I'm in total agreement with Dr. Lee about taking responsibility for your learning, but I don't think it's taking responsibility for your learning when you just have to do the teacher's bidding, fill out this worksheet, answer these questions, learn these vocabulary words, read this book. That's taking responsibility for what the teacher wants you to learn, which is what the school day is about.
How would you respond to that, Alan?
Well,
I mean, what is good homework by your definition, valuable homework?
Well, as I said, it's not just being handed worksheets so that you are going to do something so that there's homework. But, you know, the pursuit of knowledge sometimes just does not neatly fit into 45 or 50 minutes, and questions that are ideally in a class that I would teach, I would hope that the students leave the classroom with questions in their mind of wanting to know more.
Yeah.
And homework should be something that allows them to explore that. One problem that we have here in America is that our students don't spend enough time in school compared to, say, our other advanced societies. I mean, we go to school, our students go to school. hours in the classroom, and so we find that we tend to make up for that with after-school activities or with homework.
Hmm. Let's go to the phones. We've got James on the line. James, hi, you're on Voices.
Yes, hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Actually, you know, I work in Philadelphia, and I work in after-school programs all throughout the inner city. And, you know, one of the major aspects of our program is what we call academic enrichment, and basically it's homework time for the students. And, you know, while I agree that the approach of homework, you know, could be revamped from a, from a teacher point of view in terms of what the teacher is giving out for homework, you know, one of the major things one of the reasons why homework is such an important aspect is actually, you know, it puts responsibility on the parents, too, because a lot of parents see that they go to an after-school program, they expect the homework to be done, and, you know, they don't have to get involved in their child's education. But my point of view is that, you know, the fact of the matter is that homework should be an extension of what's being learned, you know, during the school. And I know your other caller just mentioned that because we have the shortest school days, we have the shortest academic calendar, and there is no argument that our children are falling behind, you know, in math and in reading and in science and across, you know, many other industrialized nations. Thanks
so much for your call, James. This is where your argument starts, because, you know, it was that study in 1983 that really cited that we were falling so much farther behind.
Right, but the thing is that our homework isn't making us catch up or go ahead.
No.
And I think, I mean, if anybody would spend 5 minutes taking a look at what the homework is, you know, I mean, it doesn't require any thought. It's not an extension of the school day. It's not, I mean, I would love to see kids come out of school and they're so engaged with what they just did in the classroom that they can't wait to continue the discussion. That would be authentic, exciting learning. But I don't think that's what the majority of students in this country are getting. And so I think what we're seeing is, you know, the last caller who said that he supervises a lot of homework, he said, well, yeah, I agree, the homework could be better. And if the homework is not better, then why are we wasting our time on it?
Would the two of you agree, Sarah and Alan, that we'd be better off if we made the school year longer, the school day longer, and made less homework?
I would not make the day longer, because the problem of student fatigue is a real one. Particularly as we get into teenagers, we start school days in some cases way too early for their natural rhythms, and so that may not be the answer, but a longer school year would probably be efficacious, or perhaps breaking the school year up into where a schedule in which the students don't have the 2 months in the summer, where there is a precipitous drop off in their skills and knowledge base when they come back in September. For many teachers, September is a month where they have to spend an enormous amount of time just reviewing what the students were supposed to have learned the previous year. Hmm. So that is one type of reform that could help in terms of time and schedule.
Our producer, Elisa Walters, spoke with several teachers in the Philadelphia School District and explored their feelings about assigning homework. Let's listen to what she found out.
I have so many students who have so many other activities, and students are stressed along with their parents, that I think I've listened to that message enough to change the amount of homework so that there's not a burden. I don't want it to be a burden.
We are competing with, in high school, we're talking about students who have work, have jobs. Sometimes they're working out until 11 o'clock at night, so that's a difficult thing. So it's not to create a burden, but to make sure that their high school education is authentic. The teacher has to respond to the homework. You know, assignments are done. If you respond to it and return it with a grade of some kind, it will increase the chance of getting more assignments from the students. a showing of effort, I think in most cases would get a positive response from a teacher. It's actually necessary for a teacher to pay attention to who's able to complete assignments and to inquire in a diplomatic way of students what challenges they might be facing. Sometimes there's not an adult at home to help and to help supervise because those adults are working.
That was our producer, Elisa Walter, speaking with several teachers in the Philadelphia School District about assigning homework. Alan, what are your thoughts about what you heard?
Well, I agree. There is a problem about students being overstressed, and I think it's important that that students are not, the children are not overscheduled. That school is the thing you do before you play soccer and then go to dance lessons and then have trombone lessons at the end of the day. Schools and education should not be one of many activities. It should be the most important activity. And therefore, an earlier caller talked about, you know, his daughter had no life. That is a problem. She should have a life. But the life should not come at the expense of her education, which will actually define her future life. If it means that, that soccer practice, that soccer is undoable or dance lessons are undoable, then we have to prioritize what is important in our children's lives.
Sarah?
Well, see, I guess I disagree with that because kids are already in school for about 7 hours a day. So education in the school sense is already the biggest part of the school day. I mean, I think what's really missing from this conversation, and this is always the biggest problem, is that our kids aren't really learning much in school. I mean, in theory, we all think that school is going to be wonderful, but in reality, the reality of the school day is that most of it is boring. It doesn't reach most kids. They're not engaged, and then they go home and do more of the same. And so I think parents who are really involved want their kids to come home and get excited about something, whether it's reading or whether it is going out to play soccer, play the trombone. Those things are another way in to learning and finding your passion and finding what your life goal is. And we're not allowing our children the time to do that.
Alan, in the school district of Philadelphia, like many urban schools, there's so many socioeconomic factors and students who have all sorts of learning disabilities that need to be considered. Are these factors taken into account when assigning homework?
Well, I can't speak for all 11,000 teachers, but ideally, they to the degree possible in very large classes in the school district of Philadelphia, you try to take individual needs into account. That's not always feasible. So, there are things that have to be general assignments rather than individualized ones. But in the best of all situations, you know your students, you know what their situations are, and you try best to respond to them.
You know, honestly, that would be wonderful, but I've never seen an individualized assignment. Not yet, not in for anybody I know, unless they have an IEP. But other than that, across the board, the kids are all getting the same work.
You know, Alan, Sarah said earlier that teachers don't get training around homework, what it means, how to assign it, so on and so forth. Would you agree? And if so, what would homework training look like from your perspective, Alan?
That's a very difficult question. Our institute doesn't deal with pedagogical methods. We deal with content knowledge. But and so I will be speaking not as as an institute director or a scholar, but just as a person. That's a very difficult thing. I mean, it's like teaching styles in that they tend to reflect the individual who is doing them. Knowing your subject, knowing the subject would seem to be the key for a teacher, and then to know what has been accomplished in the regular curriculum and what can enrich deepen the experience and even a key word, discipline, of learning the subject.
Sarah, would you suggest every school, I know these are tough economic times, but mm-hmm. would you suggest schools should have homework coordinators so that each teacher is not able to just assign whatever they want every night? That somebody take a look at how much kids are getting from each subject?
I think it would be a good idea. I think it would be really easy to. You could just have something as simple as a blackboard up in the faculty lounge, and people would have to mark on when they had major tests due or projects or something like that.
Hmm. Well, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, we've got lots of callers. We're talking about homework today. We're talking about it with Sarah Bennett, who's going to continue on the phone with us. She's the co-author of The Case Against Homework and founder of the blog StopHomework.com. We were joined by Dr. Alan Lee. He's a founding director at the Teachers Institute of Philadelphia at the University of Pennsylvania, and he had been a public school teacher for over 30 years. Thank you so much for joining us, Alan.
Thank you, Dan, and good best wishes, sir.
Thank you.
Right.
If you want to join our conversation, the number is 888-477-9499. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Sarah about what can be done about it, and we're also going to speak with Stephen Soffer. He's from CHOP, and we're going to talk about how families with ADHD children can cope with homework. Well, I'm Dan Gottlieb. You're listening to Voices in the Family. It's right here on WHYY-FM.
Independence Blue Cross is proud to support WHYY and its commitment to the community. Headquartered in Philadelphia, Independence Blue Cross is dedicated to the health and well-being of nearly 3 million people throughout the Delaware Valley. Independence Blue Cross offers a range of services to help keep you healthy, including fitness reimbursement, nutrition counseling, and school health programs. Independence Blue Cross. Further details available online at ibx.com.
It's been played out for laughs, showcased in movies, but prison rape occurs at alarming rates throughout the country.
It undermines the safety and security of the institution when there are sexual relations between an inmate and an officer.
We'll talk to Inspector General Glenn Fine about his findings and what can be done to stop the crime. That's next on Tell Me More.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
We are back on Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb, your host. We are talking about homework with Sarah Bennett, who's the co-author of The Case Against Homework, and she's founder of the blog StopHomework.com. We are also joined by Dr. Stephen Soffer, who's from CHOP here in Philadelphia, and he's a psychologist at the Center for Management of ADHD. Stephen Soffer, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me on the program, Dan.
So what are you hearing from families who come to your clinic? What are you hearing about homework from them?
It's certainly something that as the school year starts, the families that we work with clinically get anxious about. I certainly agree with some of the points that Sarah's been making on your program. And just wanted to add that homework certainly can be very helpful for many of these students. And when handled with support and care from the family and from the teachers, really can help move things forward for a lot of the students that we work with in our program and the families that I work with clinically.
What would you like to see teachers take into account when they assign homework to kids with ADHD?
I really think the most important thing is that the assignments have a clear goal. They have a purpose, a reason for being assigned. I see Sarah's point. I think she makes a good point that homework that doesn't have a clear purpose, it's just there for the sake of doing it, really doesn't help the student. Probably, certainly doesn't help the family, and the teacher probably finds it to be burdensome sometimes as well. So identifying that how this homework assignment helps the child practice a skill that they've learned in school that day, for instance, or get ready for something that's going to be coming up is really one of the most important things. for lots of our families, that homework is one of the best communication tools that occurs between the teacher and the family. It really informs the family of what they're doing in school each day, and as well as how their child's performing on it. If their child has a really hard time with a homework assignment, that's very important data for the parents to see, as well as to get back to the teacher that this is something my child's struggling with.
That's interesting, Sarah. One could argue that theoretically could go beyond children who are classified. It could be a vehicle to communicate with teachers.
I think teachers could just communicate with the parents by sending home a little quick note about this is what we're studying if you want to ask your kid about it. I mean, it depends what age we're talking about. Are we talking about elementary school kids, or are we talking about high school kids or middle school kids? Because I think it's different for each, for each group. But I think most parents of high schoolers not really communicating that much with their students or their kids about what's going on in, they're not looking at the homework. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be monitoring the homework. It should be between the teacher and the school by that age.
Yeah.
And if we're talking about young kids and the parents have to be involved in the homework, then that's a mistake. Homework is supposed to be something that you can do, on your own, and, you shouldn't need your parent to sit there beside you and help you with it.
Right, ideally. Now, let's go back to your kids, though, Stephen. They do need care and supervision.
Mm-hmm.
What advice, strategies do you recommend for families to help your kids do their homework?
The one of the first things that we work with our parents of children who have ADHD or learning disabilities is to work to establish a good communicative relationship with their child's teacher. It's important that there's open lines of communication, so that the teacher can, understand the experience at home and adapt homework assignments if necessary based on that experience. We also often work with parents on setting up their home environment to make the most ideal experience for a student and for the parent to complete the homework assignments. That can be things that we probably think about, but we don't necessarily make routine, like what time do you start homework at? Where do you actually do your homework? Do you have all the things that you need to do your homework? The students that the children that we work with have a hard time remembering to bring home worksheets, a book, even knowing what the homework assignment is.
Well, that's probably good advice for lots of kids.
Absolutely.
And not just classified. Stephen, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me on the program.
Stephen Soffer is a psychologist at the Center for Management of ADHD at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Sarah, let's go right back to the phones. We've got lots of people who want to join the conversation.
Okay.
We'll start with Anna on line 4. Anna, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I went to a high school preparatory school. We had 3 to 4 hours of homework a night and 6 hours of homework on the weekends, 200 hours worth of homework over the summer. And when I got to college, a lot of the kids were saying that it was really hard. And I thought it was easy because I was used to so much homework. And I actually got less homework in college. And my daughters right now are in kindergarten. And every night they come home with 2 books to read. And it takes us 20 minutes to half an hour to go through the 2 books. And they're in one of the top scoring schools for the PSAAs in the Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania. And it's important to have homework. It's important to have the parents helping the kids with the homework.
Well, there you go, Sarah.
I think that's interesting, but I really disagree with the caller, because college should be harder than high school. High school should be harder than middle school. Middle school should be harder than elementary school. And so I feel like that there's too much preparation for the future all the time without stopping to look at what's developmentally appropriate at each age. And so, yes, that caller was able to do college homework more easily, maybe, than some of her friends who hadn't had the same kind of, hadn't been doing it all the time. But what was the trade-off for her between her and her friends?
Well,
missing out on?
Let's find out. Anna, do we still have you there?
Yes.
All right, so let's look at the potential downsides. How was your social life back then in high school? Any regrets you feel?
No.
Anything you've missed?
I had a wonderful social life. I went out to concerts with my friends. I went camping. My friends were all my schoolmates, and it was important to us to do well in school. And we get to school, and, you know, if you weren't doing well, your friends would try to help you. And in public schools, a lot of the people that I talked to who went to public schools, it was not cool to do well in school. And if you did really well, it was put down. And among us, you were bolstered up. If you weren't doing well, they wanted to help you. They wanted to figure out a way to get you to do well.
Well, Anna, thanks so much for your call. I think your perspective is important. So, so you know, Sarah, you know, your points are well taken. They're accurate. You know, they're accurate theoretically, and you know from our past work together that I've supported your work.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, here we have some people who argue that it's a good thing.
Well, that's true. And you know what? There's always going to be people who argue that it's a good thing. And there are always going to be people who can do it. And they're going to do it easily. They're going to do it well. And they're going to love it. And they will probably end up going into teaching so that they can, you know, continue this. Because people who go into teaching generally tend to be people who like that kind of, routine to their lives. And I'm not saying that there's anything the matter with it.
Right.
But even Anna thinks that it's fine that her kindergartners are doing homework. And I still ask the question, why would you want a 5-year-old to be doing homework when there's no proven value to it? Couldn't you sit down with your 5-year-old and do something more interesting where they're going to learn more from it and you're not having to help them every single step of the way? You know, help them learn a little independence.
Let's go back to the lines. We've got Victoria wanting to join us. Victoria?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Sarah, I think your theories are right on the mark. I have 5 children, 15, 12, 11, 7, and 3. And I find that the approach of the schools is faster, smarter, more is better, and the genuine transference of knowledge just doesn't happen. I think, like you were saying to the other mother, who I think as mothers, sometimes we don't know any better. We just say, you know, let's give our kids more homework because they're going to do better, and we want better for our kids. And they're talking about teaching fractions in first grade, but you could learn fractions by baking cookies with your mother rather than sitting down and having a homework sheet that says, you know, one half and one half equals one whole. So I think also not just the homework but also the approach. I find the amount of homework or just the amount of schooling absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, they're just not getting what they're being given.
Victoria, we're going to have to cut you off and ask you to take your response off the line because we don't have the best connection in the world. Sarah, what's your reaction to what Victoria's saying?
Well, what Victoria says is really what I'm hearing all the time. That is overwhelming in the household. The kids aren't really learning that much from it or aren't learning anything from it. Parents have other things that they would like to teach their children, and they would like to not like to have the, I mean, she never got into it, but I can imagine with 5 children, you know, imagine if she's supposed to be helping all 5 children and doing 5 separate projects with each child. And, you know, they have a variety of things they do. And,
well,
you know, there's so many other factors that go in there.
We've only got a couple of minutes left, but I want to get a little concrete with you here. Homework's not going to go away. And all these things.
I hope you're wrong.
But, you know, with all these things you and I and many parents complain about, so the question is, okay, what now? I mean, you've recommended to some parents just not to do the homework.
Well, I recommend a variety of things. I think parents have to decide for themselves what's going to work best in their household. I definitely think that it's not worth temper tantrums and headaches and all of the things that young children show. So I think if you have a young child who's having those kind of problems, you should talk to the teacher about it. But I also think that when it's getting out of hand in your house, that is time to put a stop, at least for that evening, and say, okay, we'll talk to the teacher about this, but you can put your book away. I mean, I think a 5 or 6 or 8 or 10-year-old is looking to you, the parent, to, you know, kind of show them what's right and also to show them that you're on their side. And it's really not about saying you don't have to do the work because you're better than everybody else or anything like that. It's just a matter of deciding for yourself what's right for your own child.
Well, Sarah, you know, I also want to say that, you know, in your book you've recommended a lot of strategies that, you know, I think are helpful. They're concrete. And I also recommend your webpage pretty highly, stophomework.com. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us and for the work you do.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's really nice to get to talk to you in person.
Yeah, yeah. All right, take care of yourself.
You too.
My guests today have been Sarah Bennett, co-author of The Case Against Homework. Her blog is stophomework.com. We heard earlier from Stephen Soffer, a psychologist at Children's Hospital, working with families with ADHD, and Alan Lee, who runs the Teachers Institute of Philadelphia. Next week on Voices from the Family, we're going to be talking about psychics and how society views them. Join me tomorrow on my blog for a live web chat, philly.com/askdan. It's going to be dealing with perfectionism in our children, kind of a follow-up for today's show. Well, you can reach us at voices@whyy.org, and you can reach me at drdangottlieb.com. Well, the engineer for today's show has been Al Banks. Elizabeth Perez Luna is the executive producer of radio content. Mike and Scott is our executive producer of Voices in the Family. Stephanie Marudis produced today's show. Elisa Walters is our associate producer. Our intern is Jonathan Glick. Una Kwan is our volunteer. Me? I'm Dan Gottlieb, the host. Enjoy your week, my friends.
You've been listening to